Hello everyone, this is Javeria from Susum Stuff, and today I'll be interviewing Jessica from Sudakind, who is an amazing bag maker, businesswoman with a wonderful personality. So the topic for our discussion is going to be how to start a bag making business. So let's get started.
So, yeah, leather is really bad in Hawaii. So as when I started doing the cork stuff. But basically, I started the business because when I came to Hawaii, I couldn't get a job. I have a sign language interpreting bachelor's degree. So I'm like trained in that, but I couldn't get a job here. I couldn't even get a job at a grocery store. So I just started taking any sort of sewing jobs I could. And in Hawaii, we have a lot of coffee farms that use burlap coffee bags for the harvesting of the beans and stuff, and they also print their designs and their logos on them. So it's sort of like a big thing for the tourists. So I started making like burlap handbags and totes and things like that for these coffee farms, and I started getting accounts with them to make their bags, and they would sell them in their shop. So I was getting accounts to do that. During that time, I started researching alternatives to leather, which, you know, I found cork, because vinyl also molds in Hawaii, which is terrible. But cork is the only thing that doesn't mold and build it. But it was really expensive. And I didn't want to go into debt, because I was a single mom, and I had just moved to Hawaii, and, you know, it was hard enough finding a job, so
sure.
I kind of had to build as I grew.
Mm-hmm.
So by selling the burlap bags, I finally made enough money to, like, order in a couple colors of cork fabric. And it just sort of snowballed from there.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah. Then I got into a couple local galleries. And then from that, I got exposed to a sales rep who now, like, represents me. She flies to different islands and gets wholesale accounts for me and manages the accounts. Like, she'll go in and she'll take inventory of what they have, how they're displaying my bag.
Oh, so you have outsourced it.
Yeah. So it's really good because I don't have time to fly to different islands to get different accounts. So she manages all that and gets a new account for me.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So kind of around from there.
Yeah, that's a really great... I was just saying that's really great inspiration for someone who just wants to start out with nothing... With no input.
Yeah, because I started out, I mean, I had my experience from bag making before and sewing in, you know, a commercial setting. I came here with one industrial sewing machine and thread and scissors and cutting mats, you know, like your basic tools.
Yeah.
So that's what I started out with. And I just kind of built onto it from there.
Mm.
And now, you know, from going from like literally nothing, to now I have a sales rep, I have one part-time assistant who works 3 days a week for 8 hours a day, and my mom does all my shipping. So, you know, we've grown quite a bit. Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to the next question. So what are the things that you basically need? Okay, so you just answered that part.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So you just need basic supplies, like, can you do it on the home sewing machine?
I am not a fan of the home sewing machine because it's so slow.
Oh.
And, like, when you're bag making, your most expensive thing is your labor. It's not your materials, it's not your hardware, it's how much labor you spend on a bag. If you spend 4 hours on a bag, you're going to have to charge, like, $200 for that bag. Just to be able to, you know, make a profit. So you want to do whatever you can to make it faster. And by basically having a good, solid industrial machine, you're going to be able to do it faster and for longer. They hold up better. They're designed for production sewing. They're designed to run 24/7, you know. A home machine isn't going to be able to hold up to the abuse you're going to put it through. Plus, a home machine has a whole bunch of extra bells and whistles that you don't really need. And half the time, they're more expensive. You can get a used industrial straight stitch, just a basic machine for $300 used, you know, versus, you know, a home machine, which can be like thousands of dollars. You can get a new industrial with a table, a servo motor, ready to go for like $650.
Great.
It's like the best investment you'll ever make for the sewing business. Because that is like the number one thing you should have to be able to get your production out. Next would be like a cutting mat and a, you know, good rulers and a cutting, a rotary cutter. Because cutting stuff with scissors takes too long.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah. Nobody wants to cut that out. Yeah.
So the number one thing you need to invest is in an industrial sewing machine.
Yeah, I would highly recommend a really good industrial sewing machine. You don't need a fancy one. You don't need a walking foot. You don't need a good, basic, solid machine. You know, you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to do what you need to do. My machine, it's an Artisan A100. It's a lower-end industrial straight stitch machine. It doesn't have a walking foot. It doesn't have all these fancy things on it. It doesn't have a needle positioner. It doesn't have an automatic thread cutter. It does have a servo motor. It helps on the electricity, but it's just a basic machine. You can get it for $650, you know, mm-hmm. And you can just start from that. It'll pay for itself.
Right. Okay, so what's the first step if you want to set up the business, like after you get purchased the supplies?
I would start researching your market. You know, you got to know who you're going to sell to. I mean, you can make all kinds of bags, but they can be absolutely gorgeous, but if you don't have people to buy them, then it's just, you know, you're making them for yourself, which is fine too. But you got to know who you're selling to. Like when I was doing the burlap bags, I knew that was a certain type of tourist that I was going to sell to. It wasn't going to be the locals. It wasn't going to be the high-end tourists. I knew who they were, what they were looking for, and their price point. And I would design everything around that. So I knew that they were a lower end tourist, so they just wanted something cheap they could buy as like a souvenir. So I didn't, you know, spend a bunch of money, you know, with fancy hardware on these bags,
right,
or a lot of like design, because they don't care. They just wanted like a basic tote that they could come home and be like, I bought this coin. Great. Now that I'm doing the cork bag, it's a higher end market, like people that vacation in Hawaii and have like vacation homes. So it's the upper middle class tourist that comes, you know, in like January, February. They're coming here, they want something quality, artisan made in Hawaii, locally made. And they want good quality, and they want good design. And they want to be able to wear it at home without looking like they just got off the plane. So I know what they want, and I know what their price points are. And I can design around their styles and their taste.
Right. So the first thing is that you need to know the market. Sorry, I keep on cutting you again and again.
No, it's good. Make it all from the because you got to know who you're going to sell to, and you got to find your little niche in the market. You know, there's a lot of people over here that do like clothing. Like they do island style clothing. They design their own clothes, they design their own prints, and then they sell them. And that's great. That's a huge market. But there's a lot of people in it, and I didn't want to get involved in that because there's just too much competition. So I went into handbags because there was a space, you know, that I could get into that market. So I knew that if I put my bags out there, I'd get a lot of attention. So you got to know who you're selling to and how to get your bags out there to get, you know, exposure for them.
Right.
So you can't sell them, you know, that's sort of the key. Mm-hmm. You can't sell them.
Yeah. Okay, so...
So, like...
Yeah, continue.
A good thing to do would be to, like, what I did is, like, the first year I was here and I was doing, like, the touristy stuff, I would go around to all the local farmers markets and flea markets and like, art shows where they would sell locally made. Any place that they sell local made for, like, an event or a gallery or everything, I would go around there, see what sort of things they're selling and what sort of things are popular, and I would see certain trends that I would like, but then I would put my own spin on it. So I'm not copying them, but I know what that customers are buying. So you see what the customers buy, and you kind of design your product around that. Does that make sense?
Yep. Understand that.
Yeah. It's like research and development of who your customer is, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
So how long does it take to become an expert at making and selling bags? Like, how long was your whole journey?
I have been doing this since 2012. So, like, in the past, like, 3 years, it's really taken off. Especially since I started doing the cork fabric. That's when I found my niche. You know, like, I had the same skills, I had the same mentality, I had the same business sense or lack of. But I found, like, my thing that makes my bags unique. Like, once that clicks and your customers click into that, then it kind of like takes off from there. Like, what makes your brand, you know? What makes your style, what makes yours different from everybody else? And once you have that, and that, you know, and it creates its own little buzz and it sort of like explodes from there. Because like 3 years ago, about 3 years ago, my January sales were less than $100.
Whoa.
For the whole month. Yeah, it was really sad. Because January is like the downside, right?
Yeah.
So it's right after Christmas and right before like the big tourists come in.
Yeah.
So like it was $100. But now, like, I'm already over $8,000 in sales.
Whoa, that's amazing. So there's a huge potential.
So, yeah, it grew crazy fast. Once you have your, you know, it out in the market and the excitement for it, it really snowballs. But it takes time to build up.
Because
your customers, and especially your wholesale, like if you do wholesale, they have to, you know, they don't know you. They don't know what your quality is, what your consistency with quality is, and how well you can, you know, put out product when they order. So you have to build up those relationships with those people and your individual customers, so that they can trust you enough to buy your bag for X amount of dollars.
Right.
But it takes time. It takes time. But it gets there. Like, the first couple of years is rough, but
once you need patience.
It's kind of like, oh. Yeah.
All right. So how much investment, like, approximately? So there will be an industrial machine, you need $650 for that. And other than that?
So, yeah, the basic things you need to start, like, I grew slow, so I was doing other projects to, like, pay for it, so I don't have any debt for my business. But I would say get an industrial machine, get a good big cutting mat, some good rulers, good cutting tools, you know, and, like, your basics, you can pretty much go from there. It does not take a lot of investment.
So a minimum of, like, $1,000?
You could probably get going, you know, with under, like, $4,000, because you're going to have to buy materials, too. So, like, if you just start slow, like, what I would do, like, what I started doing, was I was manufacturing products for other people. So by doing that, then I built up a reputation of, like, I do good work, right? But I didn't have to invest in all the supplies because that was the designer. She would buy all the fabric and all the materials. I would just have the equipment. And they would cover the overhead in it. Because if they sell them or not, I still get paid. And until you're, like, in a situation where, like, you have a steady income, that's sort of the way to go. You don't make as much an hour, but you have a steady income to be able to use that to build your business.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any other, I didn't have any other income. So I had to, you know, pay my rent every month, basically. So I had to build on from that. If you can get, like, a store or a business, like what I did with the coffee bags, I would go to them directly and be like, here's sort of the sort of things I can make for you. And they would supply me with the materials. And I would make it, it would go into their store, and I would get a portion of them.
Right.
So that's a good way to get it started. Because once you get established as a handmade bag maker, then you can do your own brand, you know? Sometimes it's better to get somebody else to invest in you first, because it takes a, you know, it's going going to take good money to, like,
get
your materials. Because to get materials in cheaper, you got to buy in bulk.
Mm.
You know, that's a lot to carry take on at first when you don't have anything. So by doing it for other people, you're getting the sales, you're building up your portfolio, basically, establishing, you know, your reputation.
And you also...
stuff that you do work. Mm-hmm.
And you also gain experience with the
exactly.
market.
You're learning, too. So you're learning, how can I make this faster? How can I do this? You know, where are they buying this fabric? How can I get that cheaper? Where are they doing it? You know, it's just... It doesn't take on as much risk that way.
Mm.
They're sort of investing in you as a manufacturer. You don't make nearly as much money, you know, because they got to take their cut too, right? And they're carrying all the risk. But, you know, for me, when I was starting out, because I have a daughter that I'm supporting, I was like, it's better to make like $3 an hour, $0 an hour. I just had to fill all my hours with dollars.
Right.
No matter how many dollars it was in the hour, it had to be filled with the dollars. So... It eventually, you know, it pays off. It's a lot of work to get there.
Just need to be patient and consistent.
You just have to be patient. Yeah, you just got to keep going ahead. As long as you're moving forward and making progress, you know, it will eventually get there.
All right.
It's not like an overnight thing. You can't just like, oh, I'm just going to spend like $4,000. I'm going to have my own dye line. You know, because nobody knows you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Get it going.
Right. So how do you price your items?
I am like obsessed with spreadsheets.
So oh yes, I've seen them.
Style. Yeah, you see my spreadsheets, right? So like every bag style, I have everything worked out to like within the square inch or within like the rivets. Or within like each little piece of hardware, so I know exactly how much it costs to make that bag in materials. So, like even if it's a curved piece, you know, I square it off. So like they have like a 3 inches circle. I just count as a 3 inch square because that's waist. I count and count for that. So I know exactly how much my bag cost is. I know roughly how much time it takes me to make one, because your time is going to vary. Because if you make one. Going to take you a lot longer than if you make 10 per bag. If it's faster to make 10 bags all at once than to make 10 individual bags. Because you're stopping and changing, stopping and changing, stopping and changing,
mm.
opposed to just doing it all consistent. So the more, that's why, you know, they charge you less for ordering stuff in volume. So for my hours, I just sort of kind of average that out, what it would be between, you know, making one versus making one multiple. And then I add a little bit onto that for what I consider profits and, like, operational expenses. And then that is my wholesale price. I multiply that times 2, and that is my retail price for each bag.
Right.
Yeah.
So how much can you earn
but
from it?
There's no set formula.
Sorry, repeat.
Oh, sorry, I didn't even hear.
No, what was the last sentence you said?
Oh, I don't have, like, a set formula for the bag price. Because, like, something like a wallet, it might take you a lot more labor than, like, a big bag, but you can't charge $200 for a wallet, even though it might take you the same amount of time as a bag. And, yeah, it takes less material, but it's not percentage enough less material to make that even out. That's why I don't like the formulas. They're like, oh, you multiply your expenses times this.
Mm.
And that doesn't work for everything because not everybody's going to pay that for a wallet. You've got to be kind of flexible within what your market will bear, you know, for, like, how much people are willing to pay for a bag versus a big tote. So some things you're going to have a really good margin on, like, really good profits, and some things it's kind of like, eh. But you need them in there to get people excited about it. Some, what I tell people, like, even before when I was doing other art stuff, some things you make to pay your rent, and some things you make to, like, build up your portfolio. It doesn't make you a lot of money, but it makes you look good.
Mm.
You know, it just shows off your skills.
Right.
That's why you can't have, like, a that formula for your pricing. You kind of gotta be fluid with it, with your pricing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, how much can you actually earn from this?
From this?
I mean, what's the potential approximately?
For the end result, like, so I made 2,121 bags last year.
Whoa.
a lot of bags last year. I've already made over 80 bags this year so far, and I'm on the 90. So I'm hopefully going to be making more next year. But my profits and like my sales were just under $160,000 for sales, straight sales.
Right, so you...
2,121 bags.
Okay.
So whatever that breaks down to.
So you can actually get an income from it?
Oh, yeah. This supports me, my daughter, and my mother in
right.
Hawaii, which is crazy expensive.
Okay, that's really nice.
And I pay an employee.
Okay, that's really nice.
And I pay my sales rep. Yeah. Yeah, so it's totally doable. It requires a lot of work. Because, you know, when you're working and you're doing your own business, you know, bags take a certain amount of time to make, but there's all this other stuff that you have to do for the business that doesn't, you know, like, necessarily generate obvious income. Like, you better run your website, you better do your bookkeeping, you better, you know, do all these things, and your social media is huge, you better keep up with all of that stuff.
True.
Doesn't, like, automatically count as, like, money hours, you know, like, you're not getting paid for that, necessarily. But it pays in the end, because if you don't have that, then you don't get anything, because it generates your sales.
Right.
So when you look at your profits, it's like, yeah, it takes me X amount of hours to make these bags. But there's more on top of that, too. There's, you know, your sales, your marketing, or this and that. That's why I do wholesale, because I don't have to do all that marketing.
True.
You know, my wholesalers take care of all that for me. And, like, on the surface, it looks like you're getting half as many profits, but not really. I don't have to pay for a brick-and-mortar store. I don't have to deal with the customers one-on-one, and I can make them in larger volume, which reduces the hours. So really, it's win-win for me.
Right. So
yeah.
It saves time to do it wholesale.
Yeah, it saves me time, and then I'm more flexible to work in my house. I'm not stuck in some retail location, and it's multiple locations. Because for me to be able to sell that many bags, I could never do that from one location.
Right.
I have to, you know, have several different stores, and then my overhead for each of the stores would be insane. So it works out because I can sell more bags to them. I get a smaller margin, which is still more than I would be making if I was just doing it straight retail for myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so next question. So have you ever no problem. So have you ever sold on craft shows?
Yes. I do 2 events a year. So in Hawaii, our big seasons are Christmas, obviously. And then in April we have what's called Merry Monarch. And it's the world's largest hula festival. So like the whole point is to bring in tourists to the island. Because I'm on the big island, it's very country here. There's only 200,000 people on the entire island. It's very, very rural. We have chickens walking around in our yard, and I live in town. It's very country, you know. So we don't have a lot of, like, money people that live here. So to generate income for us, we have host to, like, a huge festival. So, like, basically the population of the island explodes during that week.
Right.
So you'll have, like, 20,000-30,000 people just come to the island. And they're here to watch hula dancing, shop, and eat. So, like, there are craft, you know, booths popping up everywhere during that whole week. And a lot of these people that make handmade crafts here, they only do that one event, and they make their money for the year.
Whoa.
So, like, last year, I made $15,000 in 4 days for that.
Whoa, that's amazing.
And I ran out of product. Like, I came home with like 20 bags. So this year, I'm like already starting making my inventory because there's like certain places to go that have like the best spots, and I've finally secured like
cool.
the location as the best event in town for this festival. So I'm hoping to make more than that this year. Significantly more than that this year is what the goal is going to be.
Hopefully. I wish you all the best.
Yeah, hopefully. Thank you. Yeah. Well, because you have, like tourists from all over the world, like, especially Japan.
Ooh.
The Japanese come over here for this festival, and they love buying made in Hawaii. So they come over with big money ready to spend. Because, you know, the festival that I'm doing, my bags are, you know, $100 to $200. But I am not the most expensive thing in there. I am, like, one of the lower-end things. Like,
whoa.
Last year, I was next to a guy, who does tropical wood carved, like, sculptures and furniture for, like, thousands of dollars. And there's this other guy next to me who does handmade jewelry on the island with, like, fresh-cut pearls, and they're, like, hundreds of dollars. And it's, like, crazy money in there.
Mm.
So I'm kind of low-end for that kind of market. If I go to, like, a smaller, like, farmer's market where they're selling vegetables, I don't make any sales because I'm the most expensive thing there.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful which market you go to.
Oh, that's a really nice tip.
Yeah. You got to make sure that your customers are going to be at that market. Because the customers that buy my bags are not the ones that are just, like, stopping in to get some, like, fruits and vegetables on a Saturday. You know?
Mm.
I'm getting, like, the big tourists that are flying in for these big events who are coming here specifically to buy stuff
right.
made locally.
Right. So do you have some more tips for selling on craft shows? How to deal
for
with
craft
customers?
Shows? Yeah, I mean, like, it's good if you're there as the artist selling. You get better sales from that. I know a lot of people here, they'll, like, hire a girl and, like, have her sell. But people like to meet the artist who's actually making the product as opposed to just somebody selling it.
Right.
I have, like, little cards around my booth that talk about, you know, these are handmade, what it's made of, the benefits of it, you know, and just, like, little informational things around the booth. Make it, like, open so that they can walk through. Because one year I had it, like, and I didn't get very many sales because, like, it was just too hard for people to get into. Like, if you had five people standing in there, then nobody else could see. So you got to make it accessible to other people. But I think, like, the best thing for the craft fairs is really pick and choose which craft fairs you go to.
Right.
You know, some of them you might have to pay more. But if they're not all handmade, like, you don't want to be stuck next to, like, a booth selling 31 bags, you know, or, like, commercially made bags. Because then, you know, nobody's going to want to pay your prices because they're like, oh, well, I can get something similar for cheaper, even though it's not similar, but, it, you know, a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between handmade and mass produced.
True.
They don't know, like, oh, you know. So you just got to really choose your market.
Right.
And know who your customer is and where they're going to shop.
Right. And so have you ever had any kind of difficult customers to deal with?
Yeah. Like, in the beginning, like, I would take, like, any sort of custom bag request, anything. And now I kind of limit that because some people, they don't know what they want. And then they expect you to read their mind.
True.
That's not what they want, you know? So, like, you just have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you do some stuff, limit their options. Because if customers have too many options, they get overwhelmed and then they can't pick. It's the same thing as, like, when you go to a restaurant that has, like, over 100 things on the menu, it takes you forever to order something, and you may not even be happy with it, even though you had so many options. And if you go to, like, a restaurant that has, like, 12 things, you pick from that, and it's fabulous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Limit what you can offer and do really good at those things that you offer.
Right.
You know, it's better to offer five different things and really, really well versus like 100 different things moderately okay, you know? Because the customers are going to be happy in the end because they're like, well, that's what I wanted. They're more focused in their choice because because that's, they only have five to pick from.
True.
They're more focused in what they want. When you have 100, they're like, well, maybe I like this one, maybe I like that one, I don't know. And then they get more wishy-washy, and it's not good. Yeah.
So do you sell online other than the wholesale and stuff?
I do sell online. I have my website. This year I'm really going to try to up my exposure for the website. Right now, like, I don't do any marketing. I don't pay for Facebook ads. I don't pay for Twitter ads. I don't do any of that. So this year I might actually try to do some more marketing. I was actually talking to the local small business development center.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the States, every state has a small business development center. Paid for by the government. They can give you
advice
on like how to grow your business, how to start your business, how to get a loan, how to make a business plan, whatever, all that stuff. So I was talking with her about, you know, what I can do to like really up my retail sales and different marketing strategies that we can do with that. So I might try some email marketing, you know, from customers I've already gotten through the website. But I'm also wanting to do some more like print advertisements, in the magazine form.
Right.
That are local. Like I was already featured in one of the local magazines, and there was an advertisement that one of my wholesalers paid for. So she paid for it. And it shows my bag and my brand, but for her shop. So we both get exposure that way.
And that's really nice.
Maybe I could get more exposure through the magazines that way, just for an article on just me.
Right.
Yeah.
So, do you know any place to sell other than Etsy and eBay?
Amazon, I've heard, is doing it now. They're doing like a handmade. I don't know anything about it. I haven't done it. I just know that some people are. I don't really deal with Etsy that much anymore. Like, I have a store, but I don't maintain it over there because their fees are outrageous. And it's hard to get seen there. Everybody's making handmade bags.
True.
So I just have my website.
Okay.
And my website, Facebook, my Instagram, and even my Pinterest, I can all sell from through my Shopify store.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
So
Shopify is a really good platform for your website. You can sell from all these different outlets.
Yeah, you can integrate it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Where do you get all your supplies from? Do you have any favorite wholesale suppliers?
So I can't give a big one because it takes a long time to research and get really good wholesalers. So,
okay.
My hardware guy, I've been working with him for years now. I've been working with him since, you know, the burlap bag days.
Oh.
So he's like my guy. I adore him. But I'm not giving him up.
Okay.
So, yeah. But for, like, fabric, for lining fabric, I love Premier Prints. PremierPrints.com, you can get a wholesale account from them. You can get really good heavy canvas for, like, $5, $6 a yard, 60 inches wide. Really good quality stuff. It's the same. You can also get Premier Prints from Fabric.com, but they're going to charge you $9, $10 a yard for the same thing.
Right.
So that's a really good one. For webbing, for like bag straps and stuff, cheaptrims.com, C-H-E-E-P, trims.com. The cheapest I could find. You can get them in 50-yard rolls for like $32. In like every color you could possibly think of for 100% cotton webbing.
Right.
Who else is good? So
you're
good. Oh.
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Wholesale Fabric Direct. Really good. They have a waterproof canvas, which is like a nylon canvas material that is awesome for bags and totes. Sort of like the same thing they make backpacks out of. It's a really good foundation fabric. They also have really cheap vinyl, too.
Right. Your hardware supplier is based in U.S. or from somewhere?
No, in China.
Okay.
In China.
Right.
Yeah.
And the last question.
I know, like, everybody doesn't like dealing with China, but I love, they're so nice. like all my like accounts that I have with China for all my vendors that deal with over there, they're super nice. They're really try hard to like get you a good deal, and their customer service is so much nicer. So I deal with some vendors over in Europe, and they're not as nice. They don't go out of their way. Like my hardware file has actually bought one of my bags.
Oh.
And had them shipped over. Like they're super nice people. So. I know everybody's like anti-China. They're actually really nice to deal with for all the ones that I've dealt with.
Okay. So the last question everybody wanted to know was about tax. How do
taxes.
You? Yeah.
Yeah. Taxes is a pain. So Hawaii, tax on wholesale is different than tax on retail. So because I wholesale, I pay a smaller percentage of tax. It's like 1%. I don't know. I have an accountant that does that. Does all my taxes at the end of the year. But I keep QuickBooks so that I can keep all my income and my expenses and what's wholesale and what's retail. And then they do that. But, yeah, it's still like 17 to 20% tax that you have to pay at the end of the year.
Right.
Whatever you make. Yeah.
Okay.
But most of the time, I don't have to worry about sales tax. Because I only deal with that when I sell something retail online, which is nowhere near as much as I do wholesale, which is that I don't have to deal with sales tax. I have to deal with manufacturing tax.
Right.
But if you get QuickBooks, it kind of does that for you. You just get QuickBooks, get somebody to help you set it up. You're kind of good to go from there. Get a tax license, because if you're going to be selling, you've got to have that.
Right.
Without your tax license, you can't get all the discounts for wholesale
materials
and hardware. Yeah, you gotta have a tax license so that you can buy in.
Right.
Yeah. Also, if you ship from overseas, if you ship over $2,500 worth of goods overseas, you have to get a bond. You have to get a logistics specialist to help you get it into the country.
Mm.
So that's another thing you have to worry about, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot of information.
Yeah.
You can write a whole book on it.
Yeah, I know. It's like all of a sudden you have to learn over the years to get going. Because when you first start out, you don't have to buy $3,000 worth of earrings or whatever, you know? You can buy like $600 worth of earrings, which is really fine. But as soon as you start buying, you know, like $3,000 or something, you're like, what is your bond number? I'm like, bond number? What is that? So then I had to hire a logistics specialist to get it into the port into Hawaii so that I could pick it up there. Like, do you have a forklift at your facility? I'm like, my facility? Now? Okay. So, yeah. All the stuff you have to worry about when it gets bigger.
So you just learn on the way.
Yeah, I just kind of winging it. I'm learning on the way. You know, when you get samples in from different companies, they want your shipper's information. So basically that means you can go to like DHL, FedEx, or UPS and get an account with them. And then you give them your account number and your shipping address, and it gets billed to you. So if anybody ever asks you for your shipping information, for, you know, if you have your own courier, is what they ask for, is how they phrase it, your courier's information. So they can send you samples. That means they want your account information so they can bill you directly with it.
Right.
So it's like FedEx will bill you. Yeah. Had to learn that one.
So, okay, so when I post this on my blog, do you mind if I take pictures of your bags and post it on my blog?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
No, feel free. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You can link it and pictures. You can take anything off the website or even Facebook. You know, I probably actually have more on my Facebook page than I do on the website.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that was really, really helpful. So I'll be
awesome.
Posting.
Yeah, I hope it's helpful. I kind of have like a lot of information and a little disjointed, but you know. Hopefully it helps.
I think you can really write a book because there are a lot of people who really want to know about all this.
Yeah, everybody wants to know, and it's hard to get the information out. So I'm just like, I don't know, I just gotta figure out how they go. You know? But, yeah. It's not that hard, it takes a lot of time. Like, you're not gonna make thousands of dollars overnight.
True.
Like, you're really gonna have to put the work in. This is not a big, huge money maker, you know? Like, but if it's something you love, you can totally feed your family on it. You know, you can do what you love and still have an income.
True.
You know? It's got to be your passion, though. It can't just be about the dollars, because otherwise you're just going to get burnt out.
Yeah, like any other business, any other handmade business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, you're not just, this isn't to turn profit. You're doing it, because, like, for me, and this is what I tell, like, the other local artists here, when they're like, what can I do to make money? Because, you know, handmade in Hawaii is a big deal, so we can charge money. So people are like, I'm just going to make crap and sell it. You have to love the process of what you're doing.
True.
I really enjoy making the bag. If I hated making the bag and I just like the end result, I would just do it as a hobby, you know? But I really enjoy, like, constructing the bag. Like, you know, putting it all together and, like, making it. That's where I, like, you know, enjoy the process. If you just want to design a bag and, you know, make money, pay somebody else to make that bag for you. You'll make more money.
Right.
You know? Because then you're going to be busy doing something else. But you got to really love the process.
Right.
And then you just have to suck up all the business stuff because, like, ugh, business end is terrible. I should have gotten my degree in business. Like, ugh. All the bookkeeping kills me.
Okay, so I think that's it. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, awesome.
It
no
was
worries.
Really
Thank you.
Wonderful
yeah,
talking to you.
You know, wake right up.
Sorry?
I said I can't wait to see, you know, what you write up and, you know, and I'll share all of my social media too, so, like, we'll get a lot of exposure
for
whatever we can.
Same here. I'll try to promote it as much as you can, as I can, to do justice.
Right. It'll be promoting for everyone.
Because you have shared some golden information.
Awesome. I hope so. I hope it helps people.
Right. Thank you so much for your time. It was wonderful talking to you.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
All right. That's the end of it. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Jessica, once again for sharing such brilliant information with all of us.